evening to the 8th chapter of the book of John, John chapter 8. Eighth chapter of the book of John. Let us begin reading there at verse 21 of John 8. Then said Jesus unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are beneath, that is, you're earthy. I am from above, I'm heavenly. You are of this world, I'm not of this world. You don't understand. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Remember I told you this morning, if you die in your sins, you'll be resurrected in your sins, you'll stand in your sins in judgment, and you'll bear your sins throughout the eternity to come if you die in your sins. And it'd be better to die any other death than that, if there is another death that a man can die apart from dying in his sins, it certainly would be far better. Far better if he would die at birth. It would be far better if he'd never make one single solitary cry in this world than to die in his sins. Because sin will be punished. Punished by God. And there's endless punishment. There's no end to the punishment of our sins. What our Lord bore on Calvary in those few hours was equivalent to all eternity. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That's something we need to know. And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I haven't changed. I'm the Word. Look what he said over here in this first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the light was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. That's who He was. He said, I'm just the same. I haven't changed. Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. That is, I don't do anything in secret. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, that is, when he lifted him up on a pole, fixed him up on a pole, like the brazen serpent was fixed on the pole over in the book of Numbers. When I'm lifted up and crucified, then shall ye know that I am He, and I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Perfect unity, perfect harmony with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone. But there was a time he did leave him alone. You remember? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? God, who is true to his own nature in regard to his hatred towards sin, must abandon the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross as he pays my debt, the debt that I owed. As he stood there as my substitute, God must abandon him and leave him alone. He's alone, entirely alone. No one to help him, no one to assist him. He must bear the penalty that's due me alone. But here, he says, I do nothing of myself, and he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone. for I do always those things that please Him. I'm so glad, aren't you, that there's one that always does that which pleases Him in perfect union with the Father. And He spake these words, and many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let me talk to you for just a little bit here this evening, not long, on about true faith, saving faith. These folks here said, it says of them, and He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on Him, to these Jews that said they believed on Him, He said unto them, if you continue in My word, the proof of our regeneration is our following the Lord Jesus. That's the proof of it. That's the proof of it. It's our regeneration is not in following. It merely proves that something took place in our lives. And we've been delivered from our old master, and we have come under new rule and new government, new management, and we continue after Him. You remember over here He says later on to these folks in John chapter 10, He said, when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him. And the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. And the continuance in His word is the evidence and the proof that we know Him. His sheep will not follow a false shepherd. They know His voice. That there's a certain ring to His voice, and they detect the truth in His voice. A stranger will they not follow. They'll flee for Him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And then He goes on down and He said, in verse 26, but you believe not, because you're not of My sheep. You don't believe. As I said unto you, My sheep hear My voice. They hear My voice, and I know them. I know My sheep. And they follow Me. And they follow Me. It's not that they start out, but He said they follow. There's a continuance. That's what He tells these people. He spake these words, many believed on Him. Many believed on Him. They said, we believe on You. They gave an intellectual assent to Him. And Jesus turned to them and said, if you continue then in My word, if you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And as you continue and make progress, you see, ye shall know the truth. You'll know the whole truth here. And this truth that you know will make you free. To believe on Him. To believe on Him is to take Him as the ground of our hopes. That's what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus. To receive Him. To bow to Him. To take Him as the ground of our hopes. As our salvation. Whom we depend upon for our salvation. We take Him as our Savior. We receive Him as God sets Him forth in the Scriptures. Remember I told you that Scripture there in the book of Hebrews. It says that if a man would come to God, he must believe that He is. He must believe that He is what He is. That's what I'm saying when I say that we must receive Him as God sets Him forth in the Scriptures. Not as we desire Him to be, or not as we entertain some thoughts in our intellect as He is or should be or we would want Him to be. No, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive Him as God sets Him forth in the Bible. Well, does not this same book say, as many as received Him, gave He them power or authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name? It means to give yourself to Him, lock, stock, and barrel. It means give yourself up to Him as your master. It means follow Him as the way, as the truth, and as the life. And it means when we believe on Him to the saving of our soul, it means that what He says is truth to us on the sole evidence that He says it. We don't have to have any other proof. We don't have to. I was with some brethren there recently, there in, down in Arkansas there, and some of them were talking one afternoon there about some scientific, how the true scientific evidence coincided with what the Bible teaches. Well, and I think that the statement was made that they didn't necessarily have to have the scientific evidence. I haven't even thought about the scientific evidence. I just believe the Word of God on the sole evidence that Jesus spake it, and that's enough. I don't need to read another book here written by some Christian science, a Christian scientist, proving that what Jesus said is true. I don't have to have that, and I don't think any other true believer has to have it. He takes and receives what the Lord Jesus Christ said solely on the evidence that He said it. And that's it. No argument about it. A fellow told me one time, said, well, maybe you need to go to school and take a course in how to deal with infidels and skeptics and atheists. And I said, what for? Well, he said, to combat their argument. I said, I have to combat their argument. I know what I believe. They don't know what they believe. I know what I believe. I don't have to combat their argument. I don't have to prove that there is a God. That's exactly what Paul was getting into when he was going into Corinth, this town of wisdom, the city of wisdom and culture, the philosophers and so forth. Some of them standing on the corner debating as to whether there was a God or not. I read one time where Socrates said he hoped there was a heaven because he hoped there was a hereafter because he wanted to converse some more with Plato. Paul said to these about all of these cultured philosophers in the society of that day in the city of Corinth. He said, I just passed them by. As I come into town, I just passed them by. I was determined to know nothing among you save Christ and Him crucified. I haven't got any time to debate whether the Bible's true or whether God exists or not. Paul said, never time for that. That's what I'm talking about. When he says, in truth to us, on the sole evidence that he says it is enough for the individual that has true faith. That's true faith. Now here in the Scriptures, there's another kind of faith. There is another kind of faith produced by our Savior's testimony. And I want you to see it here. That's what I want to talk to you about. There's another kind of faith produced by the truth here, by the truth of our Savior's testimony, which never amounts to anything, which never fully develops into anything. It is a false faith. It is a spurious faith. It's not the faith of God's elect. Now notice, he says, and he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Now this faith, which is produced by the testimony of our Lord Jesus here, which is a a false faith, not a true faith, it's not saving faith, it does not lead one to commit
his entire reliance upon the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and as his Savior and substitute. This faith believes about the Lord Jesus. And this is what a whole lot of people have today. They have a faith that believes about Jesus Christ. They believe that he was undoubtedly sent from God. Now, you can't talk to too many people in too many churches that doesn't believe those two statements there. They believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe that certainly he was sent from God. They believe that he was a great prophet. And they go so far as to believe what he says to a degree. They say what he says is reasonable and what he says is right. This faith, this false faith, this faith which does not lead to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, this faith which is not a saving faith, this faith believes everything that commends itself to the individual's own judgment. What I mean by that is this. These Jews here, they were willing to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah, but he must be the kind of a Messiah that they have always had pictured in their mind. They would accept him if he fit their description. That is, they was looking for a leader. A leader who would defeat the Romans. A leader who would deliver them from the oppression of the foreign yoke. To take that yoke off of their neck and give them some freedom like they had, I told you there this morning, 18 years of oppression by Eglon, the king of the Moabites. And when Ehud come in as God's deliverer, bearing death. You see, Ehud was a savior unto, he was a savior unto death to one and a savior unto life to others. He bore death to Eglon, but he bore life. He was the emancipator to the children of Israel. And after the battle was fought and 12,000 lusty men were killed, well, then the Jews were at liberty. The oppressor was killed, and they were at liberty, and they were free, and they were having a real good time for a number of years until they went whoring after strange gods again. Now, the Jews here that believed on him, they would accept him and take him and bow to him if he met their description. If he was, they pictured in their minds from their leaders and rulers that the Messiah would come, he'd deliver them. Deliver them from oppression, from the foreign yoke. He would rebuild their temple. He would not only rebuild their temple, but he would glorify the Jewish race. Now, if he'd do all that, well, they would be more than glad to accept him. See? What I'm saying is, this faith, this spurious faith, believes everything that commends itself to its own judgment. That is, if it squares up to what I picture this to be, well, then all right, I'll accept it, I'll agree with it, if it squares up. But if it doesn't, although it sounds reasonable and sounds right, well, it'll not capture my heart. It might capture my mind for a while, but it'll not capture my heart. See? You need to, all of us, needs to be, well, we need to beware of a faith which is just an intellectual movement which does not control the heart and the life. Any faith that does not control a man's heart and control his life is not genuine faith. Anytime that you've got to, you can live with a man for 20 years or 40 years, and he professes to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, And the only way you know it is that he tells you that, then he just got a head knowledge. He just got a faith like these Jews here. It's not a saving faith. It will not save. Multiplied millions right tonight all over the United States have this kind of a faith. It's a spurious faith. They believe on Jesus. Yeah, we believe on. We believe that he was born of a virgin. They believe that. We believe that the Scriptures are inerrant. We believe that they are inspired. We believe that. We believe in the Apostles' Creed. We believe all these things. But yet their faith, so-called, has not captured their heart and has not captured their life and controlled them. The faith that saves captures a man's heart. That's all they are to it. We want a faith that'll lead us to an absolute, entire reliance upon the person of Jesus Christ. That's the kind of faith we need. To believe that He, the Lord Jesus... Now, listen to this now. I heard a fella just recently. This is what he said. I heard him on the radio. This is what he said. He was talking about... this thing we call salvation. He said, now, invariably when I talk to people, he said, they tell me, well, if so-and-so goes to heaven, then I think I'll make it. Well, first thing I detect in that is this. When people is always talking about heaven, you can be sure they ain't going to go there. When they're always talking about heaven, you can be sure they ain't going there. Because true Christian and true faith talks about seeing Christ. Not so much about heaven. They're concerned about Christ and His glory. Their heart pants after Him. When you hear people always talking about heaven, they're trying to escape. They're trying to get out from underneath this thing. They're trying to get over there where the golden streets and walk on glass and drink of the pure water. That's what they're trying. They're wanting the benefits. They don't care about Christ. They don't care about... If they could get to heaven without Christ, it'd be all right with them. It'd be fine. They'd be willing to go to heaven without Christ. They're not concerned about Christ. But he said the fella invariably tell me as I counsel them, he said, well, if that soul goes to heaven, if that man goes to heaven, he said, I think I'll make it. And he said, I said to him, no, 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 a thousand times no. And he said, if I go to heaven, this is what he said. He said, if I go to heaven, it'll be on what I've done and by the grace of God. That's not it. I'm going to tell you this, if there's anybody that ever makes it beyond time into the mysterious world of the unexplored to be with God, it'll be because God hung somebody on a tree and paid for his sins. That's how come they'll get there. It won't be on, if I go to heaven when I die, it'll be because of something I did. I believe, I confess, I was at salvation by works through and through. And that same fellow said he was a preacher of the grace of God. He's a liar and there's no truth in him. No truth in it. Anybody makes a statement like that is not a preacher of the free, sovereign, unmerited, undeserved grace of God. Can't be. No way. No way. A man who says he believes the gospel and yet remains worldly, unrepentant, and prayerless, well, there's no truth to that. You see, they're not infidels in name. They're not infidels in name, but they are atheists in practice. Atheists in life. They say they have a name. They say we are disciples. We believe in Christ. So you can't say they're infidels. But they are, by evidence of their own life, they are atheists. Out and out atheists in practice. A man says he's a disciple, But you'd never know it if he didn't tell you. Well, he's a mongrel and he's not a thoroughbred. Well, look at this down here. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on his name, which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now what's their response? Did they say, yes, Lord, we believe, teach us thy truth, that thy truth might make us free? Is that what they said? That's what true faith says. True faith says, Lord, we believe, help our unbelief, teach us the truth, teach us the truth that we might be free. But a intellectual movement that we have that's crossed our minds, that's agreeable to our description of what we desire to hear and say, that which is Christ, we give assent to it temporarily. But when the truth is driven home to us, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, then, if, it's not, you know, we've said this all our lives, and you've said it, it's not the starters, it's the finishers. It's the finishers. It's the continuance. And that's the reason my heart gets so heavy at times, so heavy, that a preacher all of these years, and see people, you know, that say, yes, preacher, yeah, I'm a disciple. But I see no evidence. I don't see this continuance here. I don't see the continuance. What am I led to believe? What are you led to believe? I've come to the place that I believe that a whole lot of people have been deceived in this matter. They've been deceived. They think because they have accepted Jesus. I've accepted Jesus. And that winds me. That fixed everything up. I accepted Jesus and I got things fixed up now. Everything's fixed up. It's all right. Whether I come to church or whether I learn more of the truth or whether I be a witness of His or not, that's insignificant. I got this thing fixed up. Preacher said I got it fixed up. Preacher said if you believe on Jesus, and I believed on Jesus, and I got this thing fixed up. Well, maybe I forgot to tell him. I don't know. Maybe I forgot to tell him in years gone by that if you continue in my word, the continuance is the proof of the regeneration. The continuance, day in and day out, nothing spectacular, no recognition, just in their plodding, day in and day out, faithful unto God, faithful in prayer, faithful in your conduct, faithful in your conversation, faithful in your life, faithful, you can depend on Him, set your clock by Him. That's what I'm talking about, if you continue in my word. Well, you see, they didn't say, Lord, we believe, teach us thy truth and make us free. No, what did they say? He touched upon their pride. Their pride. He hit their pride. Oh, these pride. And you'll find out every religious man, whether it's man, woman, or a child, if all they've got is religion and they haven't got Christ, you touch them and you touch their pride. You tell them anything. If you indicate in any way that they got to come the same way that the harlots got to come, they got to bow to Jesus, they got to bow and give evidence of their bowing by their continuing, why, you touch their pride. Listen, I don't need that. It may be all right for you, but I don't need it. This is what they said. They answered him. They said, We. Hey, you're talking to me. You're not talking to some fella come riding in town in the back of a horse or a pickup truck. You're talking to me. Wait a minute. You're talking to me tonight. We be Abraham's seed. You talk about being made free. Why, we're Abraham's seed. That's who we are. Didn't you know who we were? We'd be Abraham's seed. Touched their pride. Said we'd be Abraham's seed and we were never in bondage to any man. I just read to you this morning, didn't I, where they was in bondage 18 years to King Eglon, the king of the Moabites. That's just one little incident. They were in bondage all of their lives. The Jewish race. That's what they're saying here. We're the Jewish race. We're the Jewish race. Watch out for them Jews. Watch out for them Jews. Oh, they're out for the Jews. We be Abraham's seed. That's who we are. That's who we are. We never been in bondage to anybody. You stirred something up with me. You hit a sore spot with me. My pride. Who do you think I am? They were in bondage right now. Caesar was their ruler, and eventually, when they crucified our Lord Jesus Christ, they said, we have no other king but Caesar. Isn't that what they said? We have no other king. Caesar's our king. We don't want this man. Take him and crucify him. We will not bow to him. And here these fellas, when our Lord confronts them, face to face, spurious faith. Not true faith, see. Not true faith. But they said they believed, preacher. I know they said they believed. But our Lord took the wind out of their sails real quick. He said, I'm going to try you out here a little bit now, fellas. I'm going to try you out. He said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. And they said, Lord, we be Abraham's seed, never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Why, we're free now. We're free as a bird. We're free as the air. And our Lord, look at that 34th verse. Our Lord answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. Don't tell me you're free. You're a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son come down and deliver you, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Well, I haven't got time to read all that. You can read the rest of it. He said, I know that you're Abraham's seed. I know that. I know that you've got the blood of the Jews running in the course of your veins. I know that. He said, I'm no dumbbell. I know who you are. I know who your seed is. But he said, but you seek to kill me. You're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. You seek to murder me. He just didn't fit that in there. Now, these people actually, he read their hearts. He knew what was in their hearts. When he touched upon them and indicated that they were dead in trespasses and in sins and alienated from the life of God which is in Christ, they were not the object of divine favor. It made them mad. And they said in their hearts, well, we'd like to kill that fellow. I could get a hold of him, wring his neck. I'd just like to kill him. He said, but ye seek to kill me. Why do you seek to kill me? Because my word hath no place in you. My word had no place in you. I speak that which I've seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. Who is your Father? They said Abraham was. They said Abraham was. Then answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, is that right? Is that so? Is that so? If you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. Remember Paul one other time said, have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? Huh? Listen, a man that has told you the truth, you tried to kill me, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham, but you say you're Abraham's seed. You do the deeds of your father. I'm of my father which is in heaven, but you do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. He's our Father. We have no... We're not idolaters. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you'd love me. You'd love me. That is, that you would cast yourself totally, unreservedly, you would cast yourself upon me if you were of your Father. You'd love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but He sent me. God sent me. I'm here because of the authorization of God Himself, whom you say you believe, and you're trying to kill me, and I'm a direct representative of God. As a matter of fact, I'm God manifest in the flesh. That's who I am. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words. You can't hear my words because you don't want to hear them. Like I told you this morning, many voices are speaking today, and God speaks to us. He speaks to us through the Word. He speaks to us through providence. He speaks through prophets and preachers. But we're not listening. We're listening to other voices. We're listening to what we want to listen to. We got itching ears. We want to hear what we want to hear. And when we get determined to hear what we want to hear, we go and find someone who will say what we want to hear. And we'll find him every time. Say, you don't hear me. Verse 44. Ye are of your Father. You say, preacher, these people believed on Jesus. Now that's what it says. And he spake these words, many believed on him. And I'm telling you that the test, now keep this in mind, learn this with me. The test, Jesus Christ and his testimony here that I read to you produced in these people a faith which will not save the soul. His testimony of who he was. I came from the Father. I didn't come on my own. The Father sent me. And they believed on him. His testimony produced a faith in him. But that faith was a false faith, a spurious faith, and it did not save their souls. Because as he began to dissect, as he began to take the sword and he began to cut and he began to touch them on these sore spots, he comes down in verse 44 and tells the whole truth about him. And pretty soon, you're going to see the truth, the whole truth of their character. Now he says in verse 44, ye are of your father, the devil. That's who you are. The devil's your father. My soul. There's a whole lot of people, a whole lot of people we talk to every day, practically everyone we talk to today when we get out from our little family, about everyone we talk to is of the devil. Did you know that? Of the devil. This world lies under the wicked one. This world lies under the power of the devil. The devil controls man. Controls man. And when we talk to him, We need to be aware of this, that fellow we're talking to here, his father and my father may not be the same. His father may be the devil. You see? Oh, these people believed in Jesus. Well, Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. What is the lust of their father? Well, didn't the devil try to, from the beginning, didn't the devil try to destroy the royal seed? What is the royal seed? Royal seed is the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil's desire and aim was to kill the baby Jesus. They must flee down into Egypt and hide. Because the king, the monarch, said what? He said, I put a price on every baby's head here. Every baby under how many years old was it? Under 2 years old, I put a price on their head. I want you to kill every baby. What was the devil trying to do? Trying to kill Jesus. Trying to kill a royal seed. If he could kill a royal seed, there's no salvation for us. There's no redemption if Christ don't go to that cross. You remember when Peter said, oh Lord, you can't go. I must needs go to Jerusalem, be crucified. Oh, no. I'll not let... He said, get thee behind me, Satan. That's the purpose of Satan, is to keep us from Christ. And don't you forget it. Anything that he can set before you to keep you from the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll do it. He can't kill God. He tried that and he couldn't do it. But second cause is to keep you from getting to Christ. If you can come to the altar, that's all right with him. You can believe on Jesus. That's all right with Him. You can shake hands with Him. That's all right with Him. That's all, you can become. He wants you to become as religious as you can possibly be. You can keep the Ten Commandments. You can take the Bible. I believe this. I believe that. He wants you to do that. That's right. He's not going to fight with you there. Just don't come to Christ. Just don't get to Him and cast your entire reliance, body, soul, and spirit upon the person of Christ and say, if I'm ever saved, it'll be by the grace of God because God hung His Son on a tree to pay for my redemption and give me a righteousness which is acceptable with the demands of God in heaven. That's my hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Not built on whether I cuss or whether I don't cuss, whether I go to church or don't go to church. My hope is built on nothing less. Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's it. That's it. Therein is the righteousness of God and revealed from faith to faith. How God can be just. That's the only way God can save you, save me, by punishing sin in the person of His perfect, blessed Son. Well, He said to these fellas, ye are of your father the devil. That's who you are. The lust of your father you'll do, you try to kill me. Already told him. First said, you want to kill me. He was a murderer. There it is. He was a murderer from the beginning. And he seen that in their hearts. They wanted to kill him. Hated God. Can you imagine that? Men, who are the dust of the earth, who are the creation of the Creator, rising up in the Creator's face, saying, I'd like to kill you. I'd like to, if I could get you, if I could get to you, I'd bring you, I'd kill you, I'd drain the blood out of you. That's what they're talking about there. Your father was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth because there's no, absolutely no truth in him. Ain't no truth in him. Make no concession for him. No truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, I told you the truth, and ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God, listen to this, he that is of God, a man, woman, boy, girl, that is of God, heareth God's words. He heareth God. He doesn't turn a deaf ear to God. He pays attention to God. Whether God speaks to him by His Word, by providence, through prosperity, through sickness, through suffering, or through His preaching. However God speaks, he that is of God, he hears. There's a little old boy in Spurgeon's time. I read about it one time. In Spurgeon's day, he always went to church with his grandmother. Always. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. And every time they had anything going on in the Metropolitan Tabernacle, this little boy begged his grandmother, take me, will you? Take me. I want to go with you. I want to go to church with you. I want to go hear Mr. Spurgeon. And he got up as close as he could to Mr. Spurgeon. And every time Mr. Spurgeon said anything, he put his hands up behind his ears like this. And up there like that. And he just kept listening. Listening. And his grandmother said, I wish you'd put your hands down, son. Well, he said, I got to hear what Mr. Spurgeon said. Well, why do you do that? He said, because Mr. Spurgeon said that God speaks. God speaks and God calls. And when He speaks and when He calls me, he said, I want to hear Him. I want to hear Him. Ah, my soul. I want to hear Him. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore heareth them not, because you're not a God. Then answered the Jews. True characters now coming out. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well? Didn't we tell it like it was? Didn't we say the truth once about you? say we not well, but thou art a Samaritan, and you got a devil. You got a devil. That's what they said about him. Spurious faith. You see what I'm talking about now this evening? I'm saying that the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 8 of the book of John produced a faith in those that heard it, which was a spurious faith, a false faith that did not lead to their complete reliance upon the Lord Jesus Christ as their substitute. They wound up saying that he has a devil. They wound up saying, we're going to try to kill him. We're going to try to kill him. They wound up saying, well, he's in league with Satan. That's not genuine faith. Genuine faith doesn't do that. What does genuine faith do? It does this. It lays hold of the right object. That's Jesus Christ. We talked to you about that the other night. You remember over here in the book of John, chapter 9, look at 9, verse 35. Look at this. Here's a fella. He is blind. He was born that way. He had never seen the light of day. Never had seen the light of day in his lifetime. I don't know how old he was here. But he was born blind. And our Lord Jesus Christ came along and gave him his sight. And verse 35 said, after they cast him out, these religious people of the day, they cast him out of the synagogue because he was identified with the Lord Jesus. And Jesus heard that they'd cast him out. They'll cast you out too if they get a chance. And they'd be glad to cast me out. And when he had found him, our Lord found him. And when he finds a man, he got you. When he comes where you are and finds you. Listen, and he said unto him, he said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? I think this is the only time in the Scriptures that I know of that our Lord asked a point blank question to another man in regard to himself. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Do you believe on the Son of God? And he asked, this is what true faith says. This true faith. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Who is he? Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And what did he do? He worshipped him. He worshipped him. Oh, my soul. There's got to be a true knowledge of, a free and full consent of the truth of that which is contained in the Scriptures concerning God, concerning Christ, concerning God's salvation, and all other principles of true religion. That's what true faith's involved in. He that has obtained true faith hath had his understanding enlightened to see what his state and condition was by nature. What is your state and your condition by nature? Well, I can tell you real quick. I know because I was in the same boat that you was in. Listen, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you've crucified. That's my condition. I crucified Jesus. Pat sang a hymn here, a song here not so long ago. Who killed Jesus? Who killed Jesus? You and I killed Jesus. That's who killed him. We need to know. A man who has true faith, he knows his state and true condition by nature. He knows that's what it is. It's not stealing the watermelon. That's not it. You know, many think, well, let me review my past life and see what I've done. I remember one time when I took God's name in vain. I remember one time when I stole 25 cents off my aunt's table. I remember one time when I did this and I did that. That's not it. It's what made you do that. There's the problem. What made you do it? Huh? You got a bad heart. That's what made you do it. You got a bad heart. You killed Jesus. You better mourn, you see. Not for what you did, but for what you are. Every man that winds up at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ in eternal glory will somehow be taught. And he'll understand. He'll know the truth. And he'll be made free. But he'll see that he was a captive of the devil, held in bondage. you'll see that he had a bad heart. Bad heart. Yes, sir. And lastly, he sees also, man that has true faith, he sees also that his own righteousness will avail him nothing. Nothing in point of justification and acceptance with God. And he'll understand that without Christ Jesus to stand in his stead, place, and room, that his prayers, his tears, his Bible reading, his hearing, his good deeds will avail him nothing. They will not save him. He'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ empty-handed, and he'll come bowing at his feet, and he'll say, Lord, you can show mercy if you will. True faith lays hold of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, as God sets him forth in the Scriptures. Prophet, priest, and king, and Savior, and Lord. Not in that fashion, but that's all incorporated in it. All right.